Okay, good morning. Welcome to Rabbi Sachs' Sunday morning shiur. This morning's topic is Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavana. Rabbi Sachs will be here next week at the same time, a quarter to, with the same talk of part two, Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavana. We'll cover God over
Sachs. Okay, thank you. The topic of Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavana is one which is somewhat vast and touches on many of the daily mitzvos that we fulfill. The Gemara tells us in Sachim Dav Kuf Yudalid that this is a machlokes tanaim between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi. The context of the Gemara is the mitzvah of achilas mara. A person does not have something other than mara to use in order to fulfill the obligation of karpas. And therefore, at the beginning of the Seder, a person utilizes mara early on at the point of karpas. Would he be able now later to go ahead and to recite the bracha of al achilas maror later in the Seder and to use this, or should we argue that no? Since mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, the person already was yotze, the mitzvah of maror through the prior achila, and therefore he's unable to go ahead and to recite the bracha on the subsequent achila. So the Gemara tells us that this, in fact, is the machlokes the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, he maintained that mitzvos trichos kavana, and in such a case one would not yotze unless expressly a person had in mind to fulfill the mitzvah of marar, otherwise he would not, and the Chachamim in fact disagree. The importance of that case of marar in karpas is clearly we are not dealing with the mitzvah in HaTorah, but rather a mitzvah derabanan. Marar darais is only within the framework of Korban Pesach. Marah bizman hazeh is merely a din derabanan, and apparently you see that this machlokes tanaim applies not only to mitzvos daraisa, but even to mitzvos derabanan as well. And then the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Chav Ches discusses cases regarding mitzvos daraisa, regarding tkiyah shofar, regarding achilas matzah, whether one would assume mitzvos trichos or mitzvos saint trichos kavana. This, in fact, is a machlokes between Rava and Rabbi Zeira, a machlokes amoraim, whether mitzvos trichos or ain't trichos kavana. So you find in the two sugyas applications to mitzvos daraisa, mitzvos drabanan, a machlokes tanaim, the sugyim sochim, machlokes samaraim, the sugyim Rosh Hashanah, and daf chavches. Rabbeinu Yonah, in the very beginning of Maseches Brachos, and daf aleph, med aleph, and daf yarif, points out the following, and that is that this machlokes is only bidyeved. Even if one should assume that mitzvos ain't trichos kavana, certainly that is not the ideal form of the performance of a mitzvah. A person, of course, should realize when he performs a mitzvah and have in mind expressly that through this act he is fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. Ideally, a person should be able to understand even the significance of the mitzvah at hand. The question simply is one of bidyeved. And this is the comment that the Gaon has in the beginning of Arachayim, Simen Ches, in the context of the mitzvah Titus. The Gaon cites the pasuk in Mishnei Mitzvos Anashim Melumaga, where Knesset Yisrael is criticized for performing a mitzvah by rote without the necessary kavana. Certainly that is not dependent on this machlokes. Everyone agrees lachatchila that kavana is clearly critical in the performance of mitzvos in the ideal sense. If, however, you look in the Prima Gadim, in Simin Samach, in Hilchos Kriyashma, Prima Gadim in one brief line raises the following suffix. This shita of mitzvos srichos kavana, is this a din daraisa, or is this only a din derabanan? And the Prima Gadim leaves this as a tsar of eon. He is uncertain as to whether this is true min haTorah, or whether this is only the case mi derabanan. If you look, for example, in the Rashbam, in that Sugyim Psachim Dav Kuf Yedalet, the Rashbam seems to be explicit because the Rashbam tells us that mitzvos trichos kavana min haTorah. And therefore, a simple reading of the Rashbam indicates that midaraisa, mitzvos trichos kavana. The only difficulty is the following, and this the Rishash points out, and that's Sugya Kuf Yedalet, that the context of the Gemara, as we mentioned, is maror, which is only a mitzvah derabanan. So how literally can you take that statement of the Rashbam? When the Rashbam comments that mitzvos trichos kavana min haTorah, does he really mean min haTorah as opposed to derabanan? The case is maror. Or does the Rashbam simply tell us that the Torah insists on kavana, but not necessarily to take a stand whether this is a din daraisa or whether this is a requirement which is derabanan? The Shulchan Aruch Harav is explicit, however, that midaraisa, we assume that mitzvos Srichas Kavana, and this is what the Levush writes as well. The Levush Nochos Kriyashma tells us Mitzvah Srichas Kavana Sedin Daraisa, and he tells you to look later in Hilchos Shofar. If you look in Hilchos Shofar, he tells you he'll quote the Makar, the Pasuk. If you look in Hilchos Shofar, then it does not do so. There's no explicit Pasuk that he mentions, other than we assume that Mitzvah Srichas Kavana. This is a fascinating issue, whether indeed this is true, midaraisa, whether it's only Drabanan. Stechemet points out that if you assume Mitzvah Srichas Kavana is only Drabanan, perhaps this can resolve a following difficulty that we'll have to address like later in the shir as well. But Gemara tells us in Nazir, and Daf Chav Gimel, the Sigyalson, and Horios, and Daf Yud, we can have two individuals who are eating from the Karban Pesach, participating almost in an identical fashion, but yet one person is fulfilling a mitzvah rabbah and the other is not. The Gemara tells us the following, that those two individuals, Shetzilo es Pisayim, they both prepared the Karban Pesach properly. One of them ate it, l'shem mitzvah Pesach. So that individual is considered to be one who fulfills the mitzvah appropriately. However, the other individual who ate it, l'shem achila gasa, so that is the reference of the Pasuk of Poshim Yikoshlubam. So the Gemara says the following. That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. One is referring to a person who ate it the Shem Mitzvah, the other the Shem Achila Gasa. So Reish Lakish immediately objects. A person who ate something with the improper intent, the Shem Achila Gasa, and not the Shem Mitzvah. True, Nihi Delo Ka'avid Mitzvah Min Amubchar. He didn't fulfill the Mitzvah in an ideal sense, but yet, Rasha Miyaka Karivei. You're referring to such a person as a Rasha. How could that be? The Sechemet is bothered by the simple question that, what do you mean? Reish Lakish is of the opinion that mitzvos srichos kavana. So therefore, how is it possible to say that a person who ate a Karban Pesach inappropriately, he simply didn't fulfill the mitzvah min amubchar in the ideal sense? So Sechemet points out the following, that if one should assume that mitzvos ein srichos kavana, and mitzvos srichos kavana is a machlokas on the level of derabanan, but midaraisa, everyone will agree, mitzvos ein srichos kavana b'dieven, you can understand the view of Reish Lakish very well. Reish Lakish maintains that midrabanan, kavana in fact is necessary, but if a person will perform mitzvah without kavana, min ha-Torah, he is yotzei. So if a person will eat the Karban Pesach with inappropriate kavana, in such a case, Reish Lakish maintains, I agree that this was not a mitzvah min amubchar, but you cannot call that person a rasha, after all, because perhaps the mitzvah min ha-Torah he has fulfilled. We normally assume that mitzvah srichos kavana is in fact a din daraisa. In fact, that very prima gadin, the Milchus Kriyashma raises the safek. If you look elsewhere in prima gadin, in Tavkuf Peites, when it comes to the mitzvah of shelter, here the Prima Gadim seems to write differently. The Prima Gadim discusses a case where a person has a doubt, a suffix as to whether he had the appropriate kavana or whether he did not. After all, when it comes to the mitzvah shofar, it simply means the person hears the kol shofar. So one could envision a case where a person, perhaps a couple hours later, really is in doubt as to whether he had necessary kavana or whether he did not. How would you paskin la'alacha in a case of a suffix as to whether a person had adequate kavana in a mitzvah? So even though the Prima Gadim in Hovos Kriyashim in Simen Samach raised the issue, is this a din daraisa, din darabanan? Later in Hovos Shofar, the Prima Gadim assumes sveika daraisa l'chumra in a case of a suffix regarding Tkiya Shofar as to whether a person had the necessary kavana or not. So it's interesting, even though initially he suffered in Prima Gadim, the Hachra la'alacha of the Prima Gadim is the application of this principle of sveika daraisa l'chumra. Tosus points out in Brachos Yibayisim and Aleph the following very critical observation, and that is that perhaps mitzvos trichos or intrichos kavana means that a person performs a mitzvah and literally his mind is blank. He doesn't have in mind to be otzei, but again, he doesn't have kavana hafucha, kavana ledavar acher. It's not that a person is doing so expressly having in mind not to be otzei, because Tosus is bothered by the following. That Sugya Brachos Yedbeis Amar Aleph discusses the detail regarding a Birchas Hanenin. A person, for example, has a glass of Shechar, and yet when he recites the beginning of the Bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, he thinks that he is holding a cup of wine, and he will conclude the Bracha with Borei Pri Agafen. all of a sudden, the way Rashi understands the sugi is in midstream, all of a sudden the person realizes his mistake, and he concludes the bracha appropriately, a bracha of shahako. To the bystander, it looked like a perfect bracha, bracha shahako. However, to the one who recited the bracha, he realizes, at the beginning of the bracha, he intended to recite the Bar Pi Agafen, which he would not be osay. So the Gemara raises the safek. Do you assume that basar psicha azlinan or basar chasim azlinan? What is the ikar habracha? Is it the hazkara shem shamayim or is it the conclusion of the bracha? And interestingly, the Gemara does not resolve that safek. The Gemara leaves that open. In fact, a fascinating issue that Tosus raises, how do we paskin in a safek bracha? We're so used to assuming that safek brachos lahakel. Maybe that's only true when it comes to Birchas HaMitzvah. Because after all, the mitzvah is not dependent on the bracha, and therefore safek is lakula. When you're dealing with the Birchas HaNenin, can you honestly maintain that safek is lakula? After all, Rabbi Kveger explains in Adaf and Gilin HaShas to explain that to us. Doesn't Gemara tell us in brachos that kol hanene blo bracha ki'ilu ma'al? It's as though you're stealing from Nichsei Shamayim. You're not allowed to eat. There's an Isser Achila, B'li Bracha. And if that is the case, is it so simple that when it comes to Birchas HaNenin, one can assume that Safek Brachas Lachel. Today isn't also, so we generally assume that Safek Brachas Lachel will apply even to Birchas HaNenin as well. But Tosus raises the following difficulty. Uma kami boile v'halo mitzvos ein srichos kavana. That's Tosus's question. What's the issue of the Gemara? He recited an appropriate bracha. His mindset was to recite a Birchas Hayayin as opposed to the Birchas Shahakol. So good. Hatchila, that's not the best bracha to recite. But the Dieved, Tosus says, we assume the halacha that mitzvos ain't srichos kavana. That is where Tosus distinguishes between lack of kavana as opposed to inappropriate kavana. If a person lacks kavana, mitzvos ain't srichos kavana. If a person will have kavana l'davar acher, or kavana not to be yosei, then Tosus maintains that certainly everyone would agree that mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana does not apply. In that particular case, of course, you would not be yosei. That is the case of kavana l'davar acher. In fact, this is what Tosus writes in Sochim and Avzayin, and also in the Daf Yomi of a week ago Shabbos, and Daf Membeis in Sukkah, when it comes to a case of the bracha on Sukkah. After all, the Gemara tells us that, how is it that one recites a bracha on Dalet Minim? After all, Mida Agbe, Nafigbe. Once you pick up the Dalet Minim, in fact, you are Yotzei. And to recite a bracha when the Dalet Minim are on the table, that's not appropriate. We always try to see to it that the object is in our hand at the time of the recitation of the bracha. So what do you do in that particular case? So Tosus has a couple of possibilities. One possibility of Tosus is Hafcho, because the Gemara writes in Sukkah Daf Mem Beis that if you hold the Dalet Minim upside down, in such a case, you're not going to be Yotzei. So on the one hand, the Chetz Shel Mitzvah can be in your hand. On the other hand, you are not going to be Yotzei until you will hold it properly. So therefore, a person can hold it specifically in an improper fashion, and then after the bracha, hold it, derech d'ilason, the way it normally grows. The particular case is Rashi writes as he will turn over the lulav. After all, the bracha is al netilas lulav, because the Gemara says, haf cholo yotza. If you look in that sugya, Rabbeinu Chananel, Sukkah Mem Beis, when the Gemara says, haf cholo yotza, interesting, Rashi and Tosus assume you hold the minim upside down. Rabbeinu Chananel writes, you hold them in the wrong hands. You switch hands with the lulav and Esther, the very great Kiddush, that according to Rabbeinu Chananel is li'ikuva. That's ma'akev d'dievet. We normally assume it in the chatzila that a person should hold the lulav in his strong hand, because the Gemara tells us that is three quarters of the mitzvah. Hold the estrog in his other hand. In fact, it's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch what a lefty, in fact, should do. That's very relevant then, because Rabbeinu Chananel writes that you wouldn't be yotzei if you hold it in the inappropriate hand. That's how he understands that line of the Gemara, that hafcha, that if you hold it inappropriately in such a case, one is not yotzei. So one possibility, Tosus says, to solve the bracha problem is holding it upside down. Another possibility, Tosus says, is simply kavana shalolatzeis. If you have in mind not to be yotzei, you are not going to be yotzei. So maybe a simple issue, have in mind that you're not yotzei until la'achar habracha. So if you look in the Ritva, and that's again Sachim Adav Zayin, the Ritva has the following critical comments. Number one, he's troubled by Tosus's dilemma. What exactly is the problem? What problem are we trying to solve through the suggestion of having my not to be otse or hold it inappropriately? The problem of overlasi asan. The Gemara raises a very simple question, and that is, why is the bracha al natilas lulav, and why is it not lito lulav? So the Gemara Psachim Dav Zayin makes three distinctions. When you use the bracha of al, when you recite a bracha of li, and one of them is that li is only over lasi asan. If you make a bracha la'achar asi asan, then the bracha is al. And the Gemara gives the extreme example of tvilas hager. When a person is being tovel, he cannot recite the bracha before the tvila. He doesn't yet have a kedushas Yisrael. So after the tvila, bracha is recited, and that's why the bracha is al ha-tvila, not litbo. The tvila was already done. That is the bracha which is la'achar asi asan. Tosus writes in Bracha Stafman Aleph, the same thing as when it comes to Netilas Yadayim. It's inappropriate to make a bracha when your hands are soiled and then to wash. So therefore we first wash, but now we recite the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim, because in a certain sense, the after the mitzvah has already begun. Tosus comments that the drying also is part of the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim, and therefore Tosus suggests that a person should recite the bracha after the washing, before the drying. So therefore, on the one hand, the hands are cleansed. On the other hand, it is overlas yasan of the niguv, of the drying of the hands. But yet, Tosos comments, that's why the bracha is al netilas yadayim, because that's a further example of lacharas yasan. And the Gemara writes that that's also true of al netilas lulav. After all, if the mitzvah is to pick up the dalet minim, and you've already done so because you want it to be in your hand at the time of the bracha, so in such a case, you're already otse, and that's why the bracha is al netilas lulav. In fact, the Rambam writes in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Brachos that if for whatever reason a person be reciting a bracha and he is not yet yotze, for example, the dalet minim are still on the table, then the nusach bracha would be lito lulav, not al netilas lulav. So the Ritva is bothered by the whole suggestion of Tosus that a person should somehow see to it that you can hold the dalet minim and yet at the same time not be yotze, when the simple indication of the Gemara is that's exactly why the bracha is al netilas lulav, because in fact it is la'achar asi asa. And then the Ritva goes a step further and questions the whole chiddush of Tosus. Is it so obvious, if you assume that mitzvos ein srichos kavana, that if you have in mind not to be yotze, you are not yotze? Maybe one could argue that's not true, the Ritva writes. If you hold that mitzvos ain't srichos kavana, that means that b'di'eved, all we're concerned with is the act, the performance, the maisa ha-mitzvah. And even if you had expressed kavana not to be yotze, the Ritva suggests, you are still yotze. How do we know this kiddush, that mitzvos srichos ain't srichos kavana only applies to a case when a person fails to have kavana? Maybe it even extends to a person who has inappropriate kavanah. That is the Ritva suggests in Sachem Dav Zayin. This is expressly the shita of the Ra'ah. That if you assume lahalacha mitzvos ein srichos kavanah, you are yotze regardless of what the mindset was, even if a person should explicitly have in mind that he does not want to be yotze. Normally we don't assume lahalacha as the Ritva or the Ra'ah. We assume, as the Balei Tosfos comment, that express kavana not to be yotze, you are not yotze. However, if you look in the Turi Evin, the Shagas Aryeh, in Rosh Hashanah Daf Choches, Shagas Aryeh raises the following difficulty. He says, isn't it clear that the Ritva and the Ra'ah are correct, that if you hold mitzvos ein srichos kavana yotze, even if a person has kavana l'davrache? And he brings a fascinating raya from the Sugya in Erevin Andaf, here the Gemara discusses the following. Let's assume that there is a particular need on Shabbos. Let's assume that there is a bayish nafal sham tleika, that there's a fire, and it's necessary to move the tefillin out of the house. I can't go ahead and carry the tefillin, but if I were to go ahead and wear it, the derech levisha, the way it is normally worn, that would be fine. That is not considered to be an issur. So if a person would simply don a single pair of tefillin, in such a case, he could go ahead and transport it from this house out to another area. The issue of the Gemara raises is the following. one pair of tefillin he can wear. Would he be allowed to wear two pairs of tefillin simultaneously? After all, the Gemara tells us that there is ample room in one's yad and rosh to wear two pairs of tefillin. In fact, when the Mechaber discusses Nochos tefillin, the issue of whether it's appropriate to wear Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, or is it a public manifestation of Yura? It looks like a person is haughty because he's wearing two pairs of tefillin, like, look at me, I'm trying to fill the mitzvah. B'chol Hadeos, Pashuk Shat, the Mechaber is discussing a case where he's wearing two pairs of tefillin simultaneously. So it's obvious, looking at the person, that he is striving to fulfill the mitzvah according to every day, and maybe that is not appropriate for everyone, in fact, to do. An interesting issue. But in principle, there is ample room for a person to wear two pairs of tefillin. You know what the problem is? If a person will wear two pairs of tefillin, isn't that an isserah bal tosef? Because the Torah insists on a single pair of tefillin. See, if you're wearing Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, that is not necessarily bal tosef because you are not wearing two kosher pairs of tefillin, because one of them is absolutely not tefillin at all. In fact, that's what the Mechaber suggests. You're having in mind that the correct one is the mitzvah tefillin, the other one is just the shame kishuf ba'alma, that you're wearing it as a form of a tachshit, an adornment. But if you're wearing two appropriate pairs of tefillin, isn't that an issue of bal tosef? So the Gemara suggests the following chiddush. That you know what? This should hinge on mitzvos trichos and mitzvos ein trichos kavana. If you hold mitzvos trichos kavana, the only way you could possibly be yotzei is if you have kavana to be yotzei. In which case, if you're wearing two pairs of tefillin, not having in mind to be yotzei at all, but you simply want to transport the tefillin from here to there, that's okay. That's not considered to be bal tosef. Because you only violate bal tosef if at least we consider it to be a maisa hamitzvah. And therefore, if you hold mitzvos, srichos, kavana, a simple etzah, you don't have kavana to be yotzei, it's a shabbos, you're not intending to be yotzei, and therefore you can wear two pairs of tefillin. But the Gemara says, if you hold mitzvos, ein srichos, kavana, you have a problem. Because if you're going to wear two pairs of tefillin automatically, that is going to be labeled as an act of a mitzvah, and in such a case, that will be a problem about tosef, and therefore, you have no choice but to wear a single pair of tefillin in order to move the tefillin from one place to another. So Shagazai raises the following. If Rov Rishonim are correct, as Tosos maintains, that mitzvos trichos, mitzvos ein trichos, kavana is, if you fail to have kavana, but if you have inappropriate kavana, you are certainly not yotzei. Isn't there a very simple answer? That the person on Shabbos will don two pairs of tefillin, having in mind explicitly that he is not going to be yotzei, and therefore there is no semblance of a mitzvah whatsoever, and therefore there shouldn't be an iser of bal tosef. The fact that the Gemara writes that if you hold mitzvah Saint Shrichas Kavana, the only option is one pair of tefillin at a time, isn't that an indicator, as Ra'ah, as Ritva assume, that mitzvos ein trichos kavana means yotze even if you have kavana davracha? That's the fascinating kasha of the Shagas Aryeh of Turyevin, Rosh Hashanah Dav Chofetz. If you look in the Kovet Shiurim of Rabbi Chanan, this is found in Chelek Beis, Simen Lamed Beis, Rabbi Chanan suggests the following kiddush. This whole kasha is based on the following assumption, an analogy, that if you hold mitzvos trichos kavana, performance of a mitzvah without kavana is identical, it equals kavana ledavar acher if you hold mitzvos ein srichos kavana. Is that true? It's true. In both cases, you're not yotzei. If you require kavana and you lack kavana, you're not yotzei. If you don't require kavana and you have in mind, I don't want to be yotzei, you are not yotzei. But are those two halachas identical, or are they not? Rabbi Chanan suggests the following thing. In order to violate bal tosef, you don't require a kiyum hamitzvah. Not a kiyum hamitzvah. You do require what the Torah would recognize as a maisa hamitzvah. This is an act that the Torah ordains as a maisa hamitzvah. If a maisa hamitzvah is done inappropriately, the hosafa, that's called bal tosef. The gira'on, that's called bal tigra. Bukharin suggests the following chiddush. That analogy is not accurate. If you hold categorically mitzvos trichos kavana, that's always the case. So therefore, a mitzvah without kavana is not even called an act of a mitzvah. It's not even called a maisa hamitzvah at all. However, if you hold mitzvos ein srichos kavana, you cannot argue that a maisa mitzvah dav kavana is nothing. Mitzvos ein srichos kavana. You're yotzei midaraisa. Well, if that's true, why is it that you have kavana shelo latzei, so you're not yotzei? The chiddush of Bachanan is the following, that kavana shelo latzei means there is no kiyum ha-mitzvah. A maisa ha-mitzvah is, because the Torah recognizes a maisa mitzvah without kavana. If you maintain mitzvos, ein srichos kavana. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Chanan. If you hold mitzvos srichos kavana, without kavana, it's like a chatzi maisa. It's not even called a maisa mitzvah. Because the Torah always tells us, mitzvah goes hand in hand with kavana. But if you hold mitzvos ein srichos kavana, so in such a case, that's not true. A maisa mitzvah is judged merely by the act. You're not going to be yotzei if expressly you have in mind not to be yotzei. Like Tosfos uses the following language. You're not going to fulfill a mitzvah bal karcho. The Torah is not going to persecute you. You're going to fulfill a mitzvah under all conditions. If you don't want to be yotzei, there is no kiyum mitzvah. But a maisa mitzvah there is. So that's the chiddush that Rabbi Chanan suggests. That in order to violate bal Tosfos, all that is necessary is maisa mitzvah, but not kiyum mitzvah. If you have inappropriate kavana, if you hold mitzvos in srichos kavana, that is called a maisa mitzvah. If you hold mitzvos srichos kavana, lack of kavana is nothing. It's not a maisa mitzvah at all. That is the chiddush of that gemara. That if you hold mitzvos srichos kavana, you can wear your two pairs of tefillin without kavana. It's not even called a maisa mitzvah. It's not called baltosif. However, right, if you assume that mitzvos ain't srichos kavana, even if you have in mind not to be yotzei, my son is, it is in such a case, that is all that is necessary when it comes to baltosif. In fact, Rabbi Chanan went a step further, very relevant to the sugya of the sukkah. Let's assume, for example, you have a stolen sukkah. Let's assume you apply the principle of mitzvah ba'be'aveira. A person uses a lulav hagazel, maybe even a sukkah gzula, mitzvah ba'be'aveira. You know mitzvah. You're not yotzei. I'll ask you the following question. Mitzvah habavi avera. There's no kiyum ha-mitzvah. Is that called a maisa ha-mitzvah? Or is that not? Would you argue that, for example, a sukkah gzula is a sukkah psula? And therefore it's nothing. Or would you argue, no? I look at the sukkah. The sukkah is a sukkah kshera. But you're not yotzei if you secure that sukkah. Ba'aveira. The fact that mitzvah haba be'aveira ain't a mitzvah. There's no kiyum mitzvah. But is it labeled as a maisa mitzvah? Or is that not? Would you argue that it's as though the sukkah is an inappropriately built sukkah, sukkah psula, and therefore you're not yotzei at all? Because Tosfos raised the following issue in sukkah del testament, Aleph. The Gemara says you're not yotzei with the sukkah psula. What's wrong with the stolen sukkah? The Gemara tells us the following, the pasuk. Chag ha-sukkos tasulucha, lahotiyas ha-gzula. Tosfos is bothered, why do you need a pasuk? What's wrong with mitzvah haba b'aveira? Mishnah says, yon yotz with the lulav ha-gozo. There's no pasuk regarding lulav. There's a pasuk on the first day of lochem, but on shar yamin we assume it's not yotze because of mitzvah haba b'aveira. What's wrong with mitzvah haba b'aveira? Why is it necessary to have a pasuk to tell us that you're not yotze with a sukkah gzula? A fascinating question that Tosfos raises. Many answers. Tosfos assumes in Daf Tes and Sukkah, very great chiddush, that maybe the entire psul of mitzvah b'aveira is only drabana. And that's why you need a pasuk for sukkah to tell you that midaraisa, you are not yotze. Rabbi Chanan raises the following issue. He says that he suggested this to Reb Chaim Brisker, and he writes, v'lo hechriya. He says, Reb Chaim, I did not give him a definitive answer, right, in response to this chiddush. But he raised the following, mitzvah haba b'aveira. Does that mean it is not a maisa mitzvah at all? Or do you argue, no, despite the fact that this is a maisa mitzvah, there's no kiyum mitzvah, because you're not yotzi, if it is in fact mitzvah haba b'aveira. What would a difference be? So one of the differences Rabbi Chanan writes is bal tosif. The Gemara writes in Roshan Daf Kof Ches, if a person sits in sukkah an extra day, that is considered to be a violation of Baal Tosif. Let's assume, for example, it was a stolen sukkah. Mitzvah Bavi Avera. And a person sits in that sukkah an extra day, would that be an Isra Baal Tosif, or would that not? If you argue that the sukkah is a sukkah ksheira, that is called a Maisa HaMitzvah, there's no Kiyam HaMitzvah, we just mentioned. Baal Tosif does not require a Kiyam HaMitzvah, it requires Maisa HaMitzvah. But if you will argue that a sukkah gzula is a sukkah psula, in such a case there would be no Baal Tosif. Baal Tosif requires that you have to do that which otherwise would constitute a mitzvah. And Rabbi Chanan writes that this chiddush is true. Maybe one could argue that's exactly why you need a pasuk of the chala hotzias magzula. Because mitzvah babi avera just simply tells you that there's no kiyum mitzvah. However, the pasuk tells you a sukkah gzula is in fact a sukkah psula, and in such a case, that would not even be called a maisa mitzvah at all. But that's the fascinating chiddush. Rabbi Chanan suggests that there is a world of difference between lack of kavana if you hold mitzvah srichos kavana, as opposed to inappropriate kavana if you maintain that mitzvos ein srichos kavana. What is this machlokas as to whether in fact this is the case, this machlokas rishonim? If you hold that mitzvos ein srichos kavana and you have inappropriate kavana, are you yotze, are you not yotze? So Rabbi Yosef Engel writes in Esvin Daraisa Simen Chof Gimel the following possibility. The Gemara, not exactly in the context of mitzvah srichos kavana, but in a slightly different context, the sugya zvah from that day is, when it comes to the necessary mindset of lishma, when a person offers a karban, lishma is necessary. When the kohen, for example, will do avoda, as you know, there are many different levels of lishma that is in fact needed. What happens, for example, if a kohen does not have overt kavana, the overt sense of lishma, do we assume the carbon automatically becomes pasul? So the Gemara in Zvachim Beis Mod Beis introduces us to the following concept of stama lishma. Sometimes one can simply assume, right, by simply the surrounding circumstance, that there is in fact kavana. The kohen is wearing his big day kohuna, he's in the azara, he's doing an act of shchita, right? That alone creates a certain measure of stama lishma. Maybe one could argue that that's relevant to the issue of mitzvos ein srichos kavana. Why do you assume mitzvos ein srichos kavana? Is it because kavana is irrelevant b'di'avad? We only look at the act and no more? Or should one argue, no, that kavana certainly is necessary, but there is a latent, covert kavana evident in your act, in your performance. You're in shul, you're sitting listening attentively to the kol shofar, you're sitting at the seder and you're eating matzah, but we assume that a person just happens to do so because he's hungry, and he happens to be eating matzah shal mitzvah. There are many less expensive things to eat if a person is hungry. He's doing so. Isn't that an express indicator that there is kavana? That's what Yosef Engel discusses. Mitzvos ein srichos kavana. That's because all we're concerned with is maisa mitzvah, or in principle, kavana is critical, except we can apply that aspect of stama lishma. Well, if you assume that b'di'evad we only assess based on the act of mitzvah itself, so then one could argue that even if you have inappropriate kavana, that doesn't matter. B'di'evad, maisa mitzvah. But if you argue that what determines mitzvos ein srichos kavana is stama lishma, then there's a marked difference between lack of kavana, or one could argue stama lishma, as opposed to overt, express kavana, not to be otze. How can you say implicit in your act is the kavana, and you really intended to be otze, if I am telling you explicitly that I do not want to be otze? I am davening, and it's before Baruch Shemar, and I'm saying the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, but I'm having in mind specifically, I don't want to be yotze because I want to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema together with all the brachos of Kriya Shema, all three parashas of Kriya Shema. So you're going to tell me no. Express in your recitation is kavana. There I will tell you that no. How can you assume stama lishma in such an instance? So this is what we'll have to discuss. What is the basis of mitzvah srichos, mitzvah ein srichos kavana? And also a further issue, is it possible to distinguish between various categories of mitzvahs? The Gemara Chulin Daf Lamed Aleph discusses the following: Shchita without kavana, Tzila without kavana. A person is tovel b'mikvah without kavana. Would you argue that it's still tamei if you hold mitzvah srichas kavana? Shchita b'li kavana. Would you argue that the animal is a nevela because I didn't have express kavana? So that's the chiddush of the Ramban Chulin Lamed Aleph, that one cannot equate shchita, tzila, maybe even we'll discuss brismila with other mitzvahs where kavana is considered to be critical. This will begin the discussion of two categories of mitzvah. Maisa mitzvah, as opposed to chalos, poyotze, the totsa, the consequence, the result of the mitzvah itself. I was told I have to end a little bit earlier today, but Rez Hashem, next week, we'll have to continue with this distinction. Maybe that will be sufficient. Maybe circumstance, in fact, can dictate. Well, see, that's what the Chayadam writes, that sometimes circumstance, the person is in shul, he's davening, we can assume that there is a latent kavana. As opposed to achore beis hakneses, I happen to be walking on the street, and I hear the kol shofar from the shul. Maybe that's when you require kavana. If you're in shul, listening attentively, maybe we would argue that that is considered to be sufficient.
So therefore, the bracha doesn't require any kavana, even if your whole mitzvot tzorich kavana, it's the act. You can have anything in mind when you say the bracha on the last word.